overcoming fear. We want to talk about the subject of fear. Everyone, God has made us to have an element of fear in us, because we have to be afraid of doing something that is dangerous, which may harm us, isn't it? God has put in us some element of fear that we can react to things which is not right. Fear of God is in us so that we can move away from sin. However, fear, as God made it, is one, is one of the words or word that God always uses. It's the second most repeated statement in the Bible, which says, fear not, do not be afraid. Fear not, do not be afraid. So if everybody has been, has been created with some element of fear, and God says, fear not, do not be afraid, that means fear can be taken to the extreme that can harm you. You understand that? There's got to be an element of fear in you so that you can move away from sin. There's got to be an element of fear in you so that when you're doing something wrong, you say, hey, this foul, I wouldn't do that. There's got to be an element of fear in you when you see a car driving on the road 50 miles per hour, you're not walking in front of it thinking the car will stop for you. God has made us that way. And therefore, there's got to be. So if, for instance, you are not running in front of vehicles to kill you, you are doing the right things, because God has put fear in you. However, fear can dominate people. And when fear dominates you, it literally can paralyze you. Fear can paralyze you. So let me take the Bible passage that is projected for us so that we can read it together. It says, for God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. That's New International Version. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Fear can make you timid. Excessive fear can make you timid. But let me read from New King James Version. It says it, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Do you get that? For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So that means God wants us to have power. God wants us to have love. God wants us to have sound mind. And where there is fear, it paralyzes you and prevents you from loving people, because you live in fear. Because your whole soul, emotions, is just messed about, and therefore you don't have your faculties together to be able to love. It is when you have peace in your heart that you can love, isn't it? Because sometimes, when Jesus Christ resurrected from the dead, the first thing he said was that, peace be unto you. But then before then, he said, fear not. Isn't it? Fear not. Because the disciples were so afraid of the authorities and what was around them. So he said, fear not. It's important that God, who has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind, Jesus Christ was intending to tell them that, I want you to be of sound mind. So God wants us to be of sound mind. The problem that most often surfaces in people anywhere in the world is fear. Fear can have a devastating effect in every area of human life. It is not a respecter of persons. Anybody can give in to fear. But then you see, what I looked at, if you look at New International Version, that God did not give us a spirit of timidity, same as fear. But then fear produces timidity. So he's looking at the end result of that. So God did not give us a spirit of fear. That means fear is a spirit. And the spirit of fear can paralyze you. The spirit of fear can prevent you from achieving your destiny. The spirit of fear can prevent you from actually taking certain risks that you're supposed to take to be able to do certain things. If I allowed fear to dominate me, we will not be here. How many times, even in the process, people came to me, do you think this thing is going to happen? I said, I know it's going to happen because God has told me it's going to happen. Amen. There were times that I was anxious and there were times that I was afraid. Afraid that I'm taking such a big risk. But you know what? I said, now this is the spirit of fear. I cast you out of my life. In Jesus' name, get thee behind me. And I had to take that step. There were times that it was so difficult in every area. We tried to apply for a grant there, grant then. I mean, those of you who worked on it, the answer was zilch. And we do fundraising activities, and sometimes we get £300. I'm thinking, £300? We need hundreds of thousands to do this work. You see, but then I pressed on because fear will not stop me. Neither should it stop you as a church from achieving your destiny. If I succumb to the fear, I will not be sitting standing here, isn't it? We still have a brown carpet that you can lie on it. Let me move on quickly before I deviate. It is not a bad experience. Or it is not a bad thing to experience for a moment of fear or panic as a natural response to danger or unexpected or the unknown. However, fear turns bad when it is permanent and repeated experience that takes over your life and paralyze you, not allowing you to act. Are you getting that? Exactly. It becomes a bad thing when it takes over your life and literally it's a repeated experience in your life that prevents you from taking actions that you ought to be taking. Because some of you need to begin to apply for bigger jobs. You need to apply for promotion. Need to apply to go to your manager and say, look, I've been here 3 years now and I'm still only on the same spinal point and the only thing I get is the spinal increase, which is only about £300 a year, and you divide it and it's £50 a month, and then when you, I mean, probably less than that, actually, yeah, about £50 a month, isn't it? Oh, £25 a month. £25 a month. Oh God, £25 a month. £25 a month. And when they begin to tax you, at the end of the year, you get about £10 left. So the whole month, you only got £10. It will not even buy your bus pass. Is that a promotion you're looking for? Hallelujah. You see, fear will hold you back. Sometimes look at a job, you qualified for it and apply for it. Sometimes you think, you know what, maybe I may not have the qualification, but I have the experience. Pray about it and go. I'm not saying that if you have nothing, just go and say, look, I'm coming to be the director of this place. They will tell you where to go. Use your mind. I said fear will paralyze you. Fear will paralyze some of you from even investing your money for return, probably in the stock market or something. If you put your money in the bank for bank savings, you don't get much. A whole year, if you put in 1,000, you know how much you get? Not even £10. You get £1. And if you're a taxpayer, they take 20 pence out of it. So a whole year that you have £1 in the bank, you end up with 80 pence. Is that a good investment? No. You got to start taking some risk. Is that all right? But you got to be praying to God and say, God, you have actually brought me for an increase, and therefore I want to take what is rightfully mine, and I'm going to take this risk. God, what do you say about that? And when you have peace about it, just put your money in that investment and be praying that no enemy will take that money away from you. You understand that? I'm talking to you because I'm an accountant. So, well, I was an accountant. So my pastor here. So, what I'm saying is that learning to be free of fear is essential if we desire to succeed in our Christian walk. To accomplish this, we will look at fear and where it originates from. its symptoms and how we can be free from it. What is fear? You see, the original Greek of it suggests that it comes. The word that they use for it is phobia, or phobia in English. Another translation means it's terror, something that terrorizes you. You see, it's one of the most dangerous enemies human beings can face. Fear is also one of the most effective weapons that Satan uses to hold humanity in bondage. The enemy uses fear to hold people in bondage. Because of fear, many people are being destroyed. And many people are not getting to their destiny. The word fear, literally, as I said, can also mean dread. Yeah? And it produces terror, it produces panic, it produces timidity. That is why New International Version says, for God did not give us the spirit of timidity. They should have said, God did not give us the spirit of fear, which produces timidity. You understand that? So they've jumped you to what it does. So if you don't know what timidity is, fear makes you timid. Do you understand that? When you are afraid, you are timid. You can't do anything. People intimidate you. People put terror in you. Anything that you have to do frightens you. You think, oh no, I'm not going to do that. So we have to learn to overcome fear. The spirit of fear I'm talking about. Because it's a spirit that holds you. And spirits are persons without bodies. Do you understand that? They are persons without bodies. According to Ephesians chapter 6 verse 12, if you read from the Living Bible Translation, TLB, it says, we are not fighting against persons that we see or people with human bodies. We are actually fighting against persons without bodies. They are unseen forces. They work in the heavenly places. They are spirit of wickedness. Wickedness means something that is against you. So that means fear is against you. The spirit of fear is wicked and it's against you. That means it will hold you back. If you allow fear to dominate you, it will hold you back. I didn't even time myself. What time did I start? I'm assuming I started at 9:30. In the name of Jesus, you guys are generous. Now, fear makes you coward. That's another word for timidity. Fear makes you coward. These concepts refer to experiencing such terrible panic that it makes you run away. But it also suggests that cowardice and shame will face you at all times. A coward runs away from a fight, isn't it? But you know what? God has not given us a spirit to be cowards or a spirit of timidity. He's given us a spirit, first said, the spirit of power. Did you get that? Someone with power is never a coward. Someone with power is never timid. Someone with power is never a coward. If you have power, that means you have influence and control. You are in charge. And we read from Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that said, look, when you receive the Holy Spirit, He will what? He will give you power, isn't it? Yes. So God always is talking about power instead of He telling us that be a coward, be timid, or be shameful. And who is a coward anyway? A coward lacks courage, is afraid or fears to act, and is therefore does not act because fear paralyzes him or her. A coward lacks courage. So if you're a coward, you lack courage to do things that you ought to be doing. Sometimes in your workplace or somewhere, somebody is bullying you. You may be a child, maybe an adult. Your manager is bullying you, and you know that you're doing everything which is right, and that person just bullying you for whatever reason because you don't fit his or her face. And you sit down because of your wage, you sit down for you to be bullied. You got to stand up and say, I'm not having this. That is not right how you have to treat your staff. I'm a valued person in this organization, and I add value to this organization. That is why I get my pay, so I did not come here to be bullied. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You're being respectful, polite, but fair. Is that okay?
Yes.
And if it continues, you may have some human resources area. Don't go and call the unions first. Then sometimes they're foolish. So just go and then go to the human resource and say, this person is bullying me, and I want to put it in writing that I feel being intimidated, but I am someone who also adds value to this organization, and I believe I need to be valued. You've made your case. And as a Christian, take it to prayer. God, that's where your power comes from. That's where your authority comes from. That's where your victory comes from. That is where you'll be able to change things. That persons without bodies, you are also going to influence them with the spirit of power in the universe. And you are going to turn things around in your favor in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that's how you overcome fear. Otherwise, the bully bullies you. But then God tells us that we should be courageous. You see, now I look at 1 John chapter 4, verse 18, and he said, "For I'm a perfect love, cast out fear, for fear torments." Are you getting me? Fear will torment you. Fear will make you give you sleeplessness. Fear will make you palpitate. Fear will give you panic attacks. Sometimes you go into work or you go to see somebody and then you're shaking it. Oh God, I have to go to work. Then every day you phone in, I'm sick. Yes, fear will make you sick because it's a spirit of fear. You're so afraid that you're always sick. Sometimes if you are not sick because fear is dominating you, you feel sick. It's a spirit of fear. Hallelujah. But God wants us to be courageous. So fear will paralyze you. Fear will torment you. 1 John 4:18. And then what is courage? Because that's what God will talk about. Shall we have a projection on Joshua chapter 1, I believe, verse 3-9. Now, this is God speaking. Moses had led the people of Israel for 40 years, and he had died. And the people were mourning. And they kept on mourning for days. And somehow along the line, God came in and said, "You know what, Joshua? Moses, my servant, is dead." It's as if they didn't know. Of course they knew he was dead, but they were mourning all the time. As they mourned, Moses wasn't going to come back. Because the reason why they were mourning so long for so long is simply because they were afraid who was going to lead them to the promised land. Because the giants were there. The Hittites were there. The Amorites were there. The Canaanites were there. And this is the land that God said, go and possess. Because nothing comes cheap and easy. You've got to be prepared to be a fighter, to overcome fear, to be able to go and get it. If not, you are paralyzed. And fear gets into you and you become a coward. Or the spirit of timidity will take over. Say, God has not given us a spirit of timidity. So he has said, now Moses, get it into your head. Joshua, get it into your head. Moses, my servant, is dead. But I will give you every place where you set your food, as I promised Moses. So when God promises about something, he is going to deliver it. You have to be there, because at that time, they were not on the promised land yet. But he said, everywhere you set your feet in, that means God said, I want you to make a movement. From where you are, if you fear will paralyze you to sit here, but if you take fear away and you have courage and you believe in God, then you will make a movement and go and possess the land. Hallelujah. You will go and possess the land. Let's read on. Your territory will extend from the desert to the Lebanon and from the great river, the Euphrates, all the Hittites country to the great sea on the west. God gave them a massive land from the Mediterranean all the way Lebanon, part of Syria, and all the way to present-day Iraq. Massive land God gave it to them. Right? No one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Hallelujah. Hold on there for her. But let me read verses. It said, be strong and courageous because you will lead these people to inherit the land. But let me go back to the previous verse, verse 5. You see, as I was with Moses, I will be with you. So God was saying that, Joshua, take that step. Overcome that fear. I know the Hittites were there. I know the Canaanites were there. I can see that going forward is difficult. But I just want you to know that I want you to take that step. For as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. Amen. That is God's promise over fear. So 6 months ago, 8 months ago, I sat here and I'm thinking, do I have to lose that plumbing permission? Because at a certain point, I think it was the 10th or 9th or something of November, we were going to lose the 3-year plumbing permission that was given to us. And I'm thinking, God, I haven't got all the money. I've only got 40% and I need 100% money in the bag. Being an accountant, I always want to be saved. But then somehow, God said, okay, I felt in my heart, I'd go and approach these people and ask them if they can give you some money. I was so scared. But then I knew I had to go because they are difficult people. But they're also loving people because they are also, it's other people's money that they are investing. You see, other churches that have surplus money, they give to the Baptist Property Board. And then they invest it and they get some return and give it back to them and say, this is your interest. That is a good thing, isn't it? So the first they asked us, oh, if you have money to invest, come and give it to us. I'm thinking, actually, I want money. But I'm coming back to the subject. What I'm saying, that at that time, I could have been paralyzed by fear and let us lose our vision. You see, when you are paralyzed by fear, you lose your vision, you lose your focus. So when fear is coming over you, just tell yourself, focus. So look at the next person and say, focus. Say to somebody, tell the person there, focus. Thank you. Russia. She's Spanish, that's what I'm saying. One of these places, this place is going to be bilingual. I believe that. Amen. Because I've had a vision already and it's going to happen. In the name of Jesus, don't be afraid, right? We are here for expansion because that's what God is saying. So he said, no one will be able to stand up against you all the days of your life. So when you focus on your vision and God is on your side, no one will be able to stand against you, because as God was with Moses, he also will not leave you because he will be with you. The most repeated phrase in the Bible is, I will be with you. I will be with you. The next most repeated phrase is, do not fear. Do not be afraid or fear not. Let's move on to verse 6 then. Be strong and courageous. So the antidote to fear is being strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their forefathers to give to them. Because God has everybody in his hand, he has a plan for you, a plan for your life, and that destiny should not be aborted. But if you let fear come in, it will be aborted, because it's a spirit of fear that can abort your plans. And you're not going to allow fear to abort your plans, will you? And fear is the enemy's tool. It's a spirit of fear. For God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. For God has not given us the spirit of fear or timidity, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. Because fear, when it's tormenting you, you don't have your faculties together, let alone achieve what you want to do. It seeks to paralyze you, because the battlefield is the mind. Hallelujah. Be courageous. What does it mean? God has a plan and said, I want you to be courageous. I do not want you to be afraid. Fear not. Be courageous. Take that step. Who is courageous? A courageous individual is a valiant, brave, and fearless person. A person who overcomes his or her fears and takes action. Should I repeat that? A courageous individual is a valiant, brave, and fearless person who overcomes his or her fears and takes action. So what God was telling to Joshua said, be strong and courageous. I want you to be a valiant warrior. That's what he was saying. I want you to be someone who is brave. I want you to be someone who is fearless. I want you to overcome your fears and take action. Because they were spending their time mourning and mourning and mourning and mourning, not moving forward. My servant Moses is dead. So you wake up, for God has not given the spirit of fear, but the spirit of power, the spirit of love, the spirit of self-control, or of a sound mind. Amen. God has given you that. Let's read on, verse 7. Be strong and very courageous. You see, courageous being repeated in a short space of time, because if God say something in a short space of time in scripture, that means it is important. Please take note. It's being repeated. Just like our own kids. If you want them to get something, you have to repeat it. Why do teachers repeat things? You think they don't have anything to do that they have to repeat it? What's funny? They're laughing about something that I said. You see, if you want your children to get something, repeat it. And teachers repeat things not because they love repetition. The more they repeat it, the more the people get it. Isn't that teacher? You got to repeat it. Because people get it once, and sometimes it doesn't register. Repeat it, and it goes through the ears. Repeat it, repeat it, until they get it. So, God is repeating it. Be strong and be very, this time stressing it, very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. So, part of us overcoming fear is to take the word of God seriously. Let us not turn from the right or turn from the left. And when we do this, we'll be successful. You see, a lot of people want to be successful and they are Christians, right? That's your problem for being a Christian. If you're a Christian, then you have to go by the word of God, because there's got to be some yardstick for you. There's got to be something that you have to measure your life by. There's got to be something that you have to always fall on to push you forward. Said, read my word, keep my word. Keeping means obey, right? We don't like the word obey, but obey is a good thing. When you obey and you don't turn from the left, you turn from the right, then you will be successful wherever you go. So that means each time you turn to God, say, God, your word says this. It is easy for us to say, God, you've made us the head and not the tail. I'm going to prosper as I go, as I prosper, as I come back. But then they've forgotten that the verse 20, chapter 28 of Deuteronomy, the first verse said that, hear this and make every effort to obey. Then if you obey, these things will happen. And then when you get to verse 14 onwards, it tells that, but if you do not obey, all the things that I've said, God was just undoing them. That's how God works. Bring verse 8. Do not let this book of the law depart from your mouth. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you'll be prosperous and successful. You see, this church, we make life easy for you. Every day there's daily devotions. We give you at least a verse or a few to read. And we said, what is God telling you today? What action do you have to take? We're talking about action. What do you have to do? It comes into your mailbox. If it doesn't, please, anyone receiving our emails here? Daily devotion, yes? Let me see if you're receiving them, right? Okay, because the majority of them are not receiving. Those who don't receive, put your hand up. Those who are not receiving emails from us, from the church, on a daily basis, let your hands up. Okay, there's one there, there's two there, there's three there. I have Juliana, Michelle, I have Lorraine. Who else? Okay, that means all of you do receive them. And if you want to receive them for the first time, let me see your hand. Anyone? Yes? Thank you. I've got a few people at the back. Can you turn around? I want you to stand up and have a look. Can you raise up your hands, please? Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. Thank you. So Aaron will give you a form so that you can complete. We like taking action in this church. Is that okay? Thank you. If she doesn't give it to you now, she'll give it to you afterwards. So what we're saying here is that God's word is being sent to you to encourage you to read it. And if you read it on a daily basis, you make your way prosperous and you have good successes. Success in itself is good. But you say good successes is a good thing, isn't it? Let me read the last verse and then I'll preach on. Have I not commanded you? So God is trying to reinforce the fact that have I not said so? That you have to be strong and courageous. So God is stressing on the fear again. For the third time, have I not told you? It's as if a teacher in the classroom said, have I not told you that 1 + 1 = 2 and not 3? I know if you deal with complex numbers, then 1 + 1 will be 1. But let's forget about complex numbers. One simple things. 1 + 1 = 2. Have I not told you? So if you write 3, it is wrong. Have I not told you that be strong and courageous? Do not be terrified. Some translations said, do not be afraid. Because fear terrifies you. Did you get that? Fear terrifies you. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. So anytime you face fear, know that if you act courageously, the Lord your God will be with you. Is that okay? Amen. The Lord your God will be with you. So, we started by saying, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love, and of a sound mind. Yes? Or self-control. God has not given us the spirit of timidity, but has given us the spirit of power, love, and a sound mind. According to the word of God, fear is more than emotion, but it's an evil spirit. Yes? That affects the way we behave, and it makes us run from challenges of life. Intimidation also accompanies fear, forcing us to behave as cowards and with shame. The goal of fear is to enslave and to punish us physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Because the way fear punishes you physically is that fear can produce some adrenaline in your bodies, which even medical research has actually shown that when you live in fear, some adrenalines are produced in your bodies, which end up giving you stomach ulcers and cancers, so you begin to have knots in your belly. Do you get that? Exactly. So fear can do that. So if you live in fear, you can be certain, or almost certain, that 90% plus you end up with either belly, say, stomach ulcers, or you end up with cancer in your bodies. Research has told us that. So according to God's words, we have not received a spirit of timidity, that keeps us bondage again. According to Romans chapter 8, verse 15, it says, you have not received the spirit of fear to keep you in bondage again. That means you are once in bondage, fearing so much, but God has not given you the spirit of fear to keep you in bondage again. Romans 8, 15. Therefore, the only way to destroy the spirit of fear is by using spiritual weapons. Are you getting it? You got to use spiritual weapons, because people can hypnotize you and you'll be less afraid for that moment. I hear sometimes when some boxers are going to fight, they're terrified about the opponent. Or sometimes almost all of them are terrified because it takes only one blow and you are knocked out. It doesn't matter how smart you are. One little mistake and you are out. And that's exactly what the enemy does. So some of them actually go through hypnotisms. And then when they go through hypnosis, they become strong, they become fearless, and they fight. It doesn't matter how much you beat them, they will stand there and hoping that that big knockout punch will come and then they will knock you out. Because I've seen that many times, that somebody's just being beaten and out, and suddenly he got one punch and then the other person is out. How did he do that? If you're beating me so much, probably I'll just say, enough, I'll retire. But I'm a brave man, you see, and I'll fight on. So let me talk about the origin of fear and then its root, and then we'll stop in the next 10 minutes or so. So fear came from the devil. The devil invented fear. His kingdom feeds on the fear of the people. In addition, fear controls and manipulates. The kingdom of fear is a kingdom of death. That is the biggest tool that the enemy has, in which the devil is supreme ruler. It sustains on fear. But Christ, who is our Lord, he conquered the enemy and he's putting us at ease. Through his resurrection, he said, fear not. Fear not. And he has conquered fear, because the weapons, or the enemy's most powerful weapons, are fear and lies. And the two that the enemy uses to cripple you is death. And therefore, a lot of people fear to die. Do you get that? If you're here and you're afraid of death, that means the enemy has got you. The spirit of fear is operating and is definitely going to incapacitate you. But then Jesus Christ overcame fear on the cross. Because when he overcame fear, the Bible tells in Colossians chapter 2, verse 14 and verse 15 that now Jesus Christ, as he resurrected from the grave, he canceled every handwriting of accusation against you. Every accusation that the enemy is pointing to you, that, oh, you've done this, and therefore you must be afraid. He said, I will cancel that. And after he's canceled that, he said, now I disarm principalities and powers, and I made public show of them. I triumph over them openly. You see, someone who has conquered fear is the one who wins victories, isn't it? You see, when you're able to triumph, that means you've routed your enemy. That means you are not afraid anymore. That's why I'm not afraid of death anymore. Some of you have seen me die in this church and resurrected in this church. And I've come to understand the power that God has given us and the authority that God has given us. And therefore, the spirit of fear and the power of the enemy, they must run. When they see me, in Jesus' name. But if they make any effort to attack me, I know how to defeat them, because Jesus Christ won that victory for me. For me to walk in victory. Hallelujah. He conquered fear for me to be courageous. He conquered fear for me not to be a coward anymore, not to be timid anymore, but to be strong and courageous, so that I can take action, so I can go where God wants us to be. Hallelujah. The enemy's power over human being is fear. The Bible tells in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14 and 15, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subjected to bondage. So if you're here and you are afraid of death, you are being in bondage. That means you are being imprisoned. And Jesus Christ said, I came to release the prisons. The Spirit of the living God is upon me, for he has anointed me to preach the good news and to set captives free and to loosen those who are bound. And fear will bind you. Fear will keep you in bondage. And God said, he is coming to set you free. Because fear intimidates you, fear manipulates you, and fear works on your mind. And if somebody is working on your mind, manipulating you, then I just want you to know that fear is at work. Friday and Saturday, we're having deliverance session in this church. Powerful stuff, right? Yes or no?
Yes.
Exactly. And some of the manifestation is that someone just held a hand. The person subsequently told me, Pastor, I'm someone who doesn't have headaches. But the head hand was holding the head. Said, every now, anytime that you decide to activate an acting power, I feel headaches, migraines, boom, 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 boom. And I'm sitting there, and this morning I just woke up and I was just meditating. And God said, you know what? That's the spirit of fear, intimidation, and manipulation. So if you've gone through this, when the spirit of God is at work, then the enemy manifests. So this is where it is. It's working on your mind. That means someone whose mind has been manipulated and in controlled and intimidated over several years. And they need a children's bread. Hallelujah. Amen. Deliverance is the children's bread. And that is why we're here. So, what can I say to finish up? I just want you to look at Revelation chapter 1, verse 18. Jesus said, I'm alive forever and ever. I have overcome. And I have the keys. I've overcome death, and therefore I have the keys of Hades and death. That means God has the key to the kingdom of the enemy. So if Jesus Christ said, I am the one who died and I'm alive forever, I have the keys over hell and over death, then Jesus Christ is saying that, you know what? I have that power to conquer it. I have the power to overcome the spirit of death. I have the power to set you free. So if you align your life with me, and if you align yourself with me, I am going to make you victorious. I'm going to make you a conqueror. Amen. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And if you want to know the symptoms of fear, is that you have panic, palpitations, trembling. Sometimes you sit down and you just shake. Your body shakes. You become confused. You have stomach discomfort, discouragement, frustration. It's all part of fear. The spirit of fear works. And sometimes when the spirit of fear is working upon you, you are always anxious. You always want to be perfect because you are afraid that if it is not perfect enough, as if somebody is going to beat you up. Anything anyone does doesn't please you unless they do it the way you want to see it. Spirit of fear is consuming you. And you need to be set free from its power. Hallelujah. Now I want to pray for you guys.